With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, it is time once again to get ready for another Pittsburgh Steelers contest. This time around, they're getting set to take on the Minnesota Vikings in the Twin Cities. Hi, my name is Brian Anthony Davis, the podcast producer at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. With me, as always, is my good buddy. He is Kevin Smith, KT Smith, or Cliff Harris is still a punk, or just plain coach. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Bri, you got a nice birthday present this past weekend, huh?
Yeah, I did. Nothing makes you feel better about turning 50 than the Steelers winning in the way they did, having one Mr. Harbaugh with egg on his face at the end, egg on the face that always looks like it smelled something really sour. And so I felt great, but it was nice to see those guys really pull it from their gut, from their heart, and play good football when it counted. And I loved it. And I loved the call by Mike Tomlin at the end of the game to make sure that timeout was called too. You know, some people might think that's basic, but some people forget about that kind of stuff. It was just, it was well coached. It was well executed.
Yeah, it was a old school Steelers Ravens game. Hitting was good, came down to the very last play. The fourth quarter was great. You know, it's funny, man. I love to watch the most talented people performing at the highest level, like in whatever they're doing. I really don't care what it is. I mean, it could be tennis, it could be fencing. I'll watch the Kentucky Derby because I know it's like the ultimate horse race. I just like seeing the highest level performers performing in the highest level moments. I love music and I played the drums for a long time in my life. And there's a special on Netflix called Count Me In, where they have like, it's just a documentary on some of the world's greatest drummers. And they all talk about why they love drumming. And then at the end, there's like this 5 or 6 minute segment where like six or seven of the best drummers in the world all get together and they just jam together. And I'll just watch that every once in a while from time to time, because it's like so enjoyable to watch these really talented people do what they do. And you know, it's funny. I kind of felt like that way when I was watching the fourth quarter of the Steelers-Ravens game. I know the Steelers and Ravens aren't two of the elite teams in the NFL right now in 2021. Maybe the Ravens are, but I really don't think that they are. But that level of football in the fourth quarter and it being in that rivalry and watching Roethlisberger really be on his game. You know, there aren't that many games left where we're going to get to see Ben Roethlisberger look like the old Ben Roethlisberger. And he was in the fourth quarter. And I just went back and rewatched the fourth quarter earlier today just for the pure enjoyment of it. And it just made me like, it was very fulfilling, you know, as a Steelers fan, but also as a football fan.
Absolutely. And I did not know you were a drummer. I was myself.
Oh, right on.
I love watching the best, and we lost one of the best last year, Neil Peart, and I had a chance to meet Buddy Rich maybe about 30 years ago, one of the best of all time as well, and that was just absolutely fantastic. You know, whether it's I agree with you, whether it's a great cellist or a great tennis player, the best golfer in the world, I love excellence, and that is so cool to just not just watch these guys play and perform, but watch the science of it as well. And I agree with you. I thought we got that in this game because you had some great players on the field on both offense and defense. You had two of the best kickers in the world as well. So can that performance that the Steelers put on, can that go forward? Have they turned a corner, or is there still way too much work to do?
I want to say the first, but I think it's the second, because Steelers Ravens is a special game. It's a special rivalry. We saw a much more animated Ben Roethlisberger in that contest than maybe we've seen all season long. Late in the second quarter, after Chase Claypool missed a hot check and ended up going deep against the 9-man rush when he had off coverage and Roethlisberger wanted him to check into something quick, whether it was a slant or a hitch, whatever it was. And Roethlisberger wound up almost throwing an interception as a result. And he came off the field and he kind of lit into Ike Hilliard, the Steelers receivers coach. And then he said something to James Washington, and then Washington was in the next series and Claypool was out. So maybe what he said to Washington was, you know, get your butt ready because I'm sick of that guy missing, you know, mental checks. But whatever he said was like a visibly animated Ben Roethlisberger that we hadn't seen. And here's my question: does that mean that like this is December Ben Roethlisberger, where he'll be engaged like that from here for the rest of the season, and we're going to get his best week in and week out because he understands that it's crunch time and this might be the last month of his NFL playing career? Or was that kind of a one-off where he could reach that level, and as a team, the Steelers could reach that level for a big game at home against the Ravens, but they're just not good enough and they're too banged up enough to be able to do it week in and week out, especially on a short week. So I don't know the answer to your question. I fear it's the second, and that maybe we won't see quite the same level of performance this week. But then again, the opponent's different this week too.
Well, I look at it like this, Kevin. I feel like the leadership has recharged. In that mentality is recharged in Ben Roethlisberger to go ahead and pull a player from the game, if that's indeed what he did. You know, tell Chase Claypool that's enough. I thought he was ripping into James Washington. I had no clue what was going on, and I wasn't in a point where I could look back to see what happened. So that's actually news to me here. And I'm
glad Washington wasn't even on the field on that play.
Yeah, so I was really shocked. So it was probably one of those, what they call a come to Jesus with Hilliard, to say, look, I don't care if he is, you know, a star on this team, but he's not a star on this field right now. And you need to make sure that these guys are ready for prime time. I mean, if he was saying something like that to him, that makes sense now, but he has a Wi-Fi connection, a great Wi-Fi connection, and that's an old Antonio Brown adage with Ben right now. And they are really in tune. Deontay Johnson and Ben Roethlisberger, man, they're clicking. But Ben can click with other players. And this actually encourages me to the fact that You think that they're not tuning up the Wi-Fi with Chase Claypool right now in practice? I'm sure they are. I'm sure it's not a situation where they're just, you know, let him go languish on the bench. That's not, he's not benched. It's nothing like that, but it's a situation for him to teach. So maybe Ben has regenerized it in teaching again and leading. And that's a big thing too. There were times where Ben has looked disinterested and the rest of the team has as well. I'm not saying that that is 100% accurate, but there are some times I just felt like they were all disengaged during that Cincinnati game right away after the first interception. So this is the kind of victory that could help them come together. This is the kind of victory that it's a Bill Cowher 2005 victory, you know, late in that season where it's in like, hey guys, we've got an 8-game playoff now. It's a little more than that, but a loss is not going to kill you against Minnesota, but you still can't have it. So what I'm thinking is that that game possibly unified this team. And if that's the case, then that's going to be fantastic. You have a situation here, Kevin, where you've got very young guys. I mean, Ben's almost twice some of these guys' age. And so there is definitely a disconnect, and he needs to make sure that that's plugged back in, and that goes with the Wi-Fi, that goes with everything. So hopefully this is where they can turn the corner. They showed they could, but they can't lose sight of it.
Yeah. You never know what the moment is going to be or what the catalyst is going to be to change the direction of a team. It's a long season. You get into lulls. The Steelers had won those 4 games in a row, and then they hit that lull where they tied Detroit and then just got embarrassed by the Bengals. And then Chase Claypool made those comments about, we need to have more fun at practice. And that might have been a moment where the light bulb kind of went on for Ben Roethlisberger. And as you just alluded to, where he might have said to himself, that's not what we need. Well, what we need is for there to be more accountability and greater leadership, and that's got to start with me, because he was the Ben Roethlisberger on Sunday against Baltimore that I think we all have wanted to see all season long, and that really we feel like that's the guy he should be, just the guy in charge. And again, you don't know. I think back, you just mentioned the 2005 season. I'm sure you remember, every Steeler fan who can remember that year will remember the snow game at home against Chicago. The Steelers are 7-5. And they need to win that game. They basically need to win out to make the playoffs. And there's a moment in that game where, you know, in the snow, Jerome Bettis trucks Brian Urlacher at the goal line in order to get into the end zone, and the place goes nuts. And it just felt like in that moment, the Steelers became a different team. And they didn't lose again the rest of the season. They went on and won Super Bowl 40. And I'm not saying the Steelers are going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying you never know when that moment is where the light bulb goes on and something happens that just creates a shift. And maybe that was it. Mike Tomlin, you know, supposedly was animated at practice all week last week. They put the pads back on. Claypool made his comments about the music. Roethlisberger and Cam Hayward got pissed. And they seem to really be, show their displeasure to the media. And then they went and backed it up on Sunday. So who knows, man? Maybe this is really going to be the beginning of an exciting stretch run where those guys take leadership of the team.
It very well could. And don't forget about Saturday as well, when the Ian Rappaport news came out about Ben already talking to people, because he is a source that says, and I am not a big fan of Ian Rappaport. Those sources have been very wrong a lot in the past. I am not going to go ahead and challenge his journalistic integrity. I'm not saying that. I made a joke before that's saying that, hey, maybe the inside source is his dog. I don't know, but I don't want to, I mean, the man's a professional, and I don't want to just go ahead and rip into this guy, because I mean, he's been doing it, but it seems like the reports from the unknown source don't always come true from Ian. And I think that fired Ben up completely. I think that got him ready, because as soon as that came out, Kevin, what happened on the BTSC Slack channel? What happened to every Steeler fan that tweets each other or texts each other? They were talking about who's next.
Right.
Who's coming in? We heard Garoppolo. We heard, I mean, my thought was that it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater, and I'm still, that's my bet. If it's not Ben, I think it's Teddy Bridgewater next year. So, and I'm not endorsing it. I'm just saying that's what I think is going to happen. So, you know, it's really interesting that fired up Ben, because all of this kind of stuff, I don't care if you're a future Hall of Famer or not, that kind of criticism digs down deep and gets to the bone, and it hurts. And he was so fired up to come out of that tunnel in Pittsburgh and give that crowd what the crowd richly deserved, what that team richly deserved. And it was such a great effort. And no one else was getting that game ball. Deontay Johnson had an amazing game. TJ Watt had an amazing game. Ben got the game ball, and he got it for a reason, because that's what you need.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. On a short week, who do you think benefits more from the short week? Is it the Steelers coming off a really, really big emotional win at home? Or is it Minnesota, who just lost to the Lions? And, you know, everything I've read about Minnesota this week, the sky is falling in Minnesota. And there's talk about Mike Zimmer, his job being on the line if the Vikings don't finish the year strong, about Kirk Cousins, who is under contract for next season, but was looking at a big contract extension. And now there's lots of talk about how they might move on from Cousins, and all sorts of ramifications, even up to the GM, Rick Spielman, who they've mentioned, you know, maybe his job's on the line as well. So is it the momentum that the Steelers got from a big win, or is it the desperation and the, you know, so-called fight for their lives this season that the Vikings might feel, you know, which team benefits on a short week?
I would absolutely have to say that it's the Vikings that kind of have an interesting momentum here, because Minnesota, they are the Pittsburgh Steelers of last week going into that game. The Steelers got absolutely embarrassed by the Cincinnati Bengals. So they come out here and they lose in the final seconds. And I was watching it on TV. I turned it on right when I didn't even know the score of the game. I just said, hey, I want to check this game. And I turned it on right when there was a pass interference that wasn't called against Detroit. And you looked like you thought Detroit was going to get screwed by the referees here. And next thing you know, Jared Goff is completing that ball to St. Brown. So that is the lowest of the low, even lower than the Steelers tying the Detroit Lions a few weeks back. You know, but they had just come off of a win streak, and it was still not a loss. So when you're looking at that and what the Steelers went through last week, and I've been using this phrase a lot lately, because I hope it's not offensive to anybody, but a come to Jesus conversation, excuse me, a come to Jesus conversation is something that they have been having. And you know, Mike Tomlin was having it. You know, Ben Roethlisberger's having it. And then when Chase is young, we forget he's a kid, you know, and and he's making those comments, and Cam Hayward wanted to rip the speakers out of the wall. And I don't blame him. I felt like that too. And I read it, I'm like, oh, come on, man. But you know, there's still a lot of momentum that comes out of the victory too. It's just what you do with that excitement. And the Steelers, the one thing that scares me about this young Steelers team is that they rest on laurels sometimes. Like, all right, hey, we won, the losing streak's over, we're good. And I can't help to think that that's not the mentality in some places. But if the conversations that happened with the vocal conversations with the pads, if all of that was effective and they got through to some players, then you're in good shape. Then the momentum will carry. It's just you can't stop. You have to keep on going. And the Steelers in the past few years have stopped when things have been going well. And when it starts to go bad, it goes bad. So I'm looking for a hot December from this team, and they really need a hot December. And they're in a situation, Kevin, where the toughest game that they have on their schedule is the Kansas City Chiefs, which if you lose that, you're not dead. A lot of teams have tough schedules. I mean, you don't want to lose it, but it's not going to throw you out of the mix. You've got the Browns that are kind of in disarray. You have the Ravens that just lost a guy in Humphrey, and they're kind of in disarray. Cincinnati's in bad shape, and they've got a dislocated thumb on Joe Burrow. Now, I don't think that's going to do too much, but that's something you could think about too. So they know that they're in position. They are in striking distance. They're right around number 9 right now. I thought they were going to be at number 8, but they're 9 in the conference, but they have plenty of opportunities if they take care of their own business. They don't need help at this point, Kevin.
Yeah, the opening's certainly there. And the point you just made is a really good one. And I think we'll learn an awful lot about the Steelers this week. Was last week a turning point, or was it just another example of the Steelers being able to rise up in the moment but not carry the momentum forward? But as far as Minnesota is concerned, you mentioned that last play against Detroit. I watched that live too. And honestly, when they came out of the huddle, Detroit, when they came out of the huddle and Minnesota lined up, I actually paused the TV, and I was sitting with my wife, was sitting right there. And I said, babe, look at the coverage. Look at how the defenders are lined up. My wife's actually pretty knowledgeable about football. And she said to me, because you know, she knows the last play of the game, Detroit's on the 11-yard line. And she said to me, why are those guys in the back? She didn't know what they're, you know, she didn't know to call them the safeties, but whatever. She said, why are those guys in the back lined up so deep in the end zone? And I said, that's a great question, babe. That is a great question. Why are they lined up so deep in the end zone? Detroit's safeties were 5 yards deep in the end zone pre-snap. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, okay, they're going to jump up to the goal line or something at the snap of the football. And they didn't, they just sat there. It was astounding. I've never seen such a fundamentally unsound alignment on a play, on a big play like that. And then I read in an article in The Athletic today that wasn't a mistake. That was the call, that they called that particular coverage with that particular defensive alignment in the huddle coming out of a timeout. So that they wanted their safeties that deep. And the hope was that if they threw the ball in front of them, they'd react up, but they anticipated Detroit trying to throw some kind of a ball to the back of the end zone to TJ Hockenson over everybody's head. So they backed their safeties off. But if you lose a game like that on a call that's so fundamentally unsound, and that call came from the head coach, that to me creates a lot of locker room conversation. And things are already not going real well. And the Vikings got tight on that last drive. They had been blitzing the heck out of Detroit all game. Jared Goff is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL against the blitz. And Minnesota backed off and just played soft, soft, soft. On one play with about 30 seconds left in the game, and Detroit out of timeouts, the Lions completed a pass in between the hashes, right in the middle of the field. And Minnesota's coverage was so soft that the receiver was able to run out of bounds and stop the clock from the middle of the field, which tells you that they were playing in such a passive mode that Detroit scoring almost felt inevitable. And again, that creates some locker room chatter. you know, why were we doing this? Why were we in this coverage? And when the players start to question the calls that are coming in, you really begin to build some major dissension. So I'm really curious about how Minnesota responds to this, because this could go one of two ways for the Vikings. It could be a backs against the wall moment where we see their best game of the season, because they know if they lose this year, the season's over. Or it could be just everybody starting to question everybody, the locker room falling apart, the quarterback not getting a real vote of confidence from ownership or anybody in the organization. And it could wind up being a disaster and work that works in Pittsburgh's favor.
And that's true. And it's the hearts that beat in the chest of those purple jerseys that's going to tell the tale as well. So this could be something very interesting to watch. On a programming note, check out Know Your Enemy tomorrow night, because we will find out what's going on in Vikings camp from somebody from Minnesota talking about this team, and it'll be really interesting. So tune in to Michael Beck and Jeffrey Bennett to check that show out. We are going to take a break, and we're going to talk about the hearts that beat in those purple jerseys when we get back, and who is dangerous to the Steelers. So check it out right here on BTSC.com. It's the pregame show. Here we go.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Welcome back to the Steeler pregame show. My name is Brian Anthony Davis from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Alongside me, as always, is Kevin Smith. We like to double team you and do this together, and it's a great time, and we're still walking on sunshine when we're talking about the Steelers over the Ravens. But here's the thing. That game's over. This team needs to move forward, and it's on a short week in Minnesota. Now, short week, you talked about it earlier, Kevin. Do you think with the injury situation that is a benefit to the Steelers side when you're only getting about three games in between?
Yeah, Minnesota's fairly banged up. Last week against Detroit, they played without some of their best players. Dalvin Cook, Christian Darrisaw, Adam Thielen, Anthony Barr on the defensive side of the ball. A few of those guys will be back. Some of those guys are kind of still limited in practice or were out of practice. So it's hard to know specifically about Thielen and Darrisaw. Darrisaw is an interesting name, obviously, because I think a few weeks ago when we were talking about the Steelers playing against the Tevin Jenkins, the big tackle out of Oklahoma State, we brought up Darrisaw's name because he was a big draft crush of a lot of Steelers fans. Yeah, right. I mean, we all felt like, and you and I actually had that conversation about, like, what would have happened if Darrisaw was still on the board in the first round? Would the Steelers have gone Najee Harris? Would they have jumped to Darrisaw? Darrisaw's been really good. He's probably been the best rookie offensive lineman in the league this year.
I have no idea what would have happened.
Yeah, that would have been fascinating, right?
But you know what would have happened is the Steelers would probably be talking about a top draft pick for next season, because you don't win the games when you're trying to rebuild a team without a running back. You know what I'm saying? I just don't think they would have won games because of Darrisaw, but they would have, but they've definitely won games because of Harris. You're the coach. You could tell me if I'm wrong there.
Well, I always have the philosophy that you build from the inside out, which means you build from the line on out. But that's a high school mentality. This is an NFL mentality where the Steelers had one of the worst running back rooms in the NFL last season. And so they clearly needed to upgrade the running back room. Now, had Darisol been there, could they have taken him and then jumped at like a Javonte Williams in the second round? I mean, he went in the second round to Denver. So would he have been around, or, you know, maybe Michael Carter, his teammate, one of those guys, and could they have made the impact Harris has? But hey, if we're criticizing the Steelers taking Najee Harris, we're being pretty short-sighted, because I still believe he's the Steelers offensive MVP this year.
Not Deontay?
No, I think Harris is, honestly. I just feel Deontay Johnson's been great, no question about that. But I just feel like the Steelers, Harris has done so many things for the offense that they couldn't do or can't do with some combination of Benny Snell and whomever the second, I mean, whether it's Balazs or whom, whatever backup that you want to insert there. I just feel like, yeah, one thing I noticed with Harris in the game against Baltimore went with a lot of what we call like amoeba looks, where they're putting 7, 8 on one snap, the snap where Roethlisberger got angry at Claypool, 9. They had 9 guys literally lined up at the line of scrimmage. And the challenge, of course, from that look is for Roethlisberger to figure out who's coming and who's dropping into coverage. So if they got 8 guys walked up to the on the ball, they're going to probably bring 5 or maybe 6, and they're going to drop 2 or 3. And he's got to figure out where they're coming from. And so does the protection. And it's a tough look. And when they were going, when Baltimore was executing that scheme, I was watching Najee Harris a lot. And boy, his blitz pickups were excellent. He is not afraid to stick his nose in there. And he was doing a tremendous job of just getting a body on a body. And you saw Roethlisberger only got sacked 1 time all game. And it was one of his best games of the season, because he had more time in the pocket than he's had pretty much all season long. So there's those little things that Harris does really, really well that don't go noticed. So, yes, I agree. Johnson's been great. I think Harris has been more valuable.
Harris has my vote, if I had one. And I agree with you. And that's why I brought this up at the beginning. Why that I believe in Darisol, and I thought he would have been great, and they would have done well taking him, but I don't think the team wins as many games because of what Najee has been doing, for everything you just said right there.
Yeah, Darisol's a pick that's going to bolster your line down the road, but you're going to need additional help to make the maximum impact. Hey, quick shout out while we're talking linemen. John LeGlue.
Whoa.
Yeah. Who the hell was this kid, man? I'd never even heard of it. I didn't even know he was on the roster. I'll be totally honest. I did not look. I saw 77 come in the game. I was like, who's this big dude? I've never seen this guy before. Wow. He played tremendously.
I just remember him from training camp. And I thought he had some really good signs of life in training camp as well. You know, the thing about LeGlue, he really has a Matt Filer type of vibe to him. You know, he seems like he's a guy that can come in and never go away. I really feel that, because the Steelers do that well. That's something they really do. They're very good at taking an undrafted guy and making him special. And we've seen some of those guys go to the Pro Bowl. Alejandro Villanueva being one of them. But well, yeah,
it's funny. He's got a Villanueva vibe in a sense. He's 6'7", 3'10". You know, he could use a little bit of muscle, but he's athletic and long and rangy, and an undrafted kid who just has worked his butt off and been in a bunch of different camps. And I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be great, but you never know. He was getting movement on those Baltimore down linemen. He and Dan Moore Jr. in the fourth quarter were opening up legitimate holes for the Steelers to run through. And it was just thrilling to watch. So I don't know. Maybe they found something with him.
You know, what's funny. We've gotten way off subject because we were talking about injuries, but I want to continue with this real quick. When you look at the fact that you've got a LeGlue, and we might be jumping the gun with LeGlue, but pretty excited about him being on the Steelers, and Dan Moore Jr. and Kendrick Green. And it's funny, they're rebuilding an offensive line and in the playoff conversation still, which is something very Steeler-like. They we always talk about the reloading, but they're starting over with it. They're basically starting over with this offensive line, because the guy that was the main veteran that you talked about and only a second year man, Kevin Dotson's been injured. And of course there's Chooks. Chooks is a 4 year man. So, you know, you get that as well, but they're really changing the way they do things on that offensive line each and every week. And they were showing signs of life, and then they hit a November wall, and December's here, and they're starting to really feel themselves now. I mean, there's no doubt that we're excited about Kendrick Green. And I think everybody that knows the Steelers are invested in Dan Moore Jr. Now. He still has the job. Banner's back. He's not playing a lot, but Dan Moore Jr. did not lose his job. And that was the question everybody talked about.
Right. Yeah. I think the Steelers really like him. In fairness to him, he started alongside five different left guards this year. Offensive line play is so much about cohesion and communication. And to have five different playing partners in your first year, when you're learning everything from, I don't want to say from scratch, but everything's new to you. And you're still adjusting to the speed of the game and the talent across the ball from you. To have a guy next to you who you can rely upon. I mean, it'd be wonderful if Dan Moore Jr. had some veteran, a David DeCastro next to him, who could really stabilize things and show him the ropes. He's had five different playing partners. But the funniest thing is that the guy he seemed to work the best with was LeGlue. Those two guys really worked well together. And who knows? Maybe they have good chemistry. Maybe they communicate well together. I don't know what it is. Or maybe it's a one-off. We don't know yet. But that was really exciting to watch.
The best thing about LeGlue, he's playing out of position. He's a tackle.
Yeah. He played everywhere in college. He played tackle, guard, and center. And he talked about that. He said, one of the biggest reasons I'm on the roster here is my position flexibility.
Well, I got to do it. I got to be cheesy. LeGlue might be the LeGlue that sticks.
It was teed up for you right there.
Yeah, you have to. You really do. So yeah. Let's.
All right, Vikings. I'm sorry, I got you off track.
No, I love it. We're getting some good stuff. We're not talking about 80s movies like I usually get off on. So here we go. They're missing this team. I'll be shocked if you see Adam Thielen. And Adam Thielen is a guy like Cooper Kupp, which he catches a lot of balls, makes a lot of touchdowns. He's just very dangerous. But he helps make Mr. Jefferson, Justin Jefferson, better too. And Justin Jefferson's a superstar.
Yep.
And he makes him better. And he's also a guy that made Stephon Diggs tradable for a fourth rounder. You know, so with him not being in the lineup, that's a very big deal, Kevin, to me. Darisaw has an ankle as well, and they're coming off of a short week, so it's hard to get back in there. Now, Dalvin Cook is the guy I want to talk to you about. He has a shoulder injury, and when you're a running back, you know how important the shoulder is. Yeah. Am I overstating this, or is it going to be hard for him to get back? He is in practice limited. He was a limited participant in practice today, but you're risking a lot as a running back. And this is a question I'm asking you. I mean, is it going to be tough for him to get on the field with a bad shoulder as a running back?
So shoulder injuries are often your availability with a shoulder injury is often a matter of how much pain can you play through. It's not like a lower body injury, like a knee or an ankle, where it's going to affect your ability to move. If you're a running back and you can't cut or you can't do explosive things, then you can't play. But with a shoulder injury, it's just a matter of what's your pain tolerance? Because oftentimes that's just, there's nothing you can really do for it. You can play through it. I mean, I separated my one shoulder several times. I dislocated my other one and wound up having surgery on it. And what I played was separated shoulders, and it just kind of stunk, you know, it hurt, but it was just a matter of, you know, play through it, play through it. As a running back though, there's a stylistic element in play, and Dalvin Cook is a physical runner. He is a lower your shoulder and run through guys type of runner. He's not necessarily your sort of quick scat back who is going to make dudes miss and then run out of bounds. So his style of play could definitely be impacted by this injury. And that'll be really interesting to watch. I mean, how much is he going to be able to withstand physical contact in the hole? And you know, will he be able to play through that? So I'm not saying that I'm happy that he hurt his shoulder. I'm just saying that if that limits his effectiveness against the Steelers, that would certainly benefit Pittsburgh.
Is he the biggest threat, if he's in this game, for the Steelers? Or do they need to look elsewhere as far as who's keeping the defensive coordinator Keith Butler up at night?
Yeah, I mean, Jefferson's great. You just mentioned it. He had 11 catches against Detroit last week. He's a great player. And he's even better when Thielen's in the game, like you said, because Thielen can do a lot of stuff in the slot and occupy safeties and puts Jefferson one-on-one on the outside. Without Thielen, the Steelers might be able to play a little more cover two and keep a safety over top to protect against the deep ball. The real issue, though, is Kirk Cousins. He's just been, you know, the king of the you know, short and intermediate throw. Steelers fans get frustrated sometimes with Roethlisberger and how often he's throwing the short stuff. But that's usually a product of his pass protection, where he's got to get the ball out quickly. With Cousins, it's just been dink and dunk, dink and dunk. I don't know if it's he's not confident throwing the deep ball, or if he's just, you know, become conditioned to throw the ball underneath. But you read about how frustrated Vikings fans are with his inability to push the ball down the field. So that might limit some of Jefferson's effectiveness. Of course, the Steelers don't tackle better than they've tackled pretty much all season. It's not going to matter, because Dalvin Cook's a dude you got to get physical with to get on the ground. And Jefferson's an athlete who can make people miss in space and create home runs as a result. So fundamentally, the Steelers need to be fundamentally sound to deal with both of those guys.
On defense, Anthony Barr is going to be back. He says he's going to play. Patrick Peterson, he is back from the COVID list, and he's expected to play. And if you don't know who Patrick Peterson, superstar for the Cardinals all those years. So as a defensive back, he is in there, and he's dangerous too. Is there a certain guy that you're really worried about here? Because I have one guy, and it's a guy that a lot of Steeler fans might not be acquainted with. He is a Myles Garrett type player. He is, my gosh, he's an Aaron Donald type player. He's so dangerous on that line, that defensive line, and it's Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, the guy that I really like on their defense, well, two of them, I really like the linebacker, Eric Kendricks. I think that he is a kind of a guy that you got to get a body on. He's really good at finding the seams. They talk about linebacker reads. You know, you hear the phrases like cloudy and clear, that if you get a clear gap, you go. And he's really good at exposing those clear gaps. And he's very, very athletic. He's a guy that I think that they'll try to put on Pat Freiermuth if they can get him on Freiermuth a little bit. But I also love Harrison Smith, the strong safety. I would have loved to have seen Harrison Smith as a Steeler. He's a hitter. He just feels like a Steeler. He's a hitter and a great leader. So those two guys, I think, are the dudes that other, you know, with Barr questionable or out, that I think the Steelers have to really account for.
All right. So it's prediction time here. I'm going to go ahead and go first. I'll be perfectly honest with you, this game scares the heck out of me. Steelers have every opportunity to win this game. It's a road trip, short time. But the Steelers are relatively healthy in this game. But that defense of Minnesota scares me. And I've seen this movie a whole heck of a lot before. When you go
out of conference, on the road. It's tough. So I'm actually going to go ahead and say Minnesota 31, Steelers 26.
Okay. So my rule for picking the Steelers this year has been the following. I'm picking them to win unless I'm really certain they're going to lose. And I think really certain means I got to, like, in my mind be 75% or better certain that they will lose. Like last week, I kind of thought that they would lose, but it was more like a 60-40. And in my mind, I was like, that's close enough for me to pick the Steelers. Just because I want to pick the Steelers and I'm an optimist, et cetera. And so I asked myself this question. Am I convinced the Steelers are going to lose this week? And the answer is no. So if I'm not convinced that they're going to lose, I'm going to pick them to win. And I'll just tell you quickly, the reason I'm going to pick them to win is because I think that last week may have shook something loose in Ben Roethlisberger. Maybe for all the reasons we talked about earlier in the show, he's, now that we're into December and we're down the stretch, he's really starting to see the end of his career. And I think he wants to go out in a manner that's befitting of a Hall of Fame quarterback. And while the entire game is not on his shoulders, I just think you're going to see him elevate his play, but more importantly, elevate his leadership. So with that said, on a short week where the Steelers can carry that momentum that they got on Sunday forward into Minnesota, I think it'll be close again, but I think they're going to win. I'm going to go 24-20 Steelers.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And here, I just have thick enough skin where I can say, like, I am an optimist. I'm just looking back and I'm trying to think about some things here. And when I pick against the Steelers, they typically win. So that's, I'm kind of trying to play that role as well. I'm not going to be surprised if the Steelers do win this game. And I'm optimistic that they can. There's just something nagging at me, and it's that defense of the Minnesota Vikings, and it's Kirk Cousins as well. There's something about him that's bothering me in this game too, where I think it might be tough with a team that is going through all kinds of adversity. You get what you get when you have the Steelers and the Ravens last week. I'm afraid that that might be this week too, but I'll just choose to live in my fears this week and celebrate when the Steelers prove me to be stupid. And that's what I'm hoping for, Kevin.
Brian, if you have to be stupid for the Steelers to make the playoffs, please be stupid.
Hey, I have no problem with that. You could carte blanche. You could call me that. I think
my record picking Steelers games this year is like 4-8. So I'm the stupid one, you know.
Well, that being said, it's been a weird year and it continues to be one, but it's glorious because it's December. We're talking about the Steelers, they possibly making the playoffs. Some people think I'm crazy. I'm telling you, I think they're making the playoffs. I will say that. I'm not picking them in this game, but I really have a good gut feeling about the postseason with this team. So we will find out. So get your terrible towel ready. It's going to be a good one. Kevin, thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Go Steelers.
All right. For Kevin Smith, my name is Brian Anthony Davis from behindthesteelcurtain.com. I already told you to get that terrible towel, so you know what to do. Twirl it up and start rooting.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.